The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do you have to repent in order to receive the gift of eternal salvation? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're in a series in which we're responding to Wayne Grudem's critique of free grace. Now, before we get to the discussion with the guys today, I want to remind you of our national conference, which is coming up pretty soon. The national conference is a great time of teaching and fellowship, and I look forward to it every year. I certainly hope to see you there. You can find out more about our national conference by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. You can even register right there on the site. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Sean Lazar. It rhymes with bizarre.
And I'm Bob
Laser.
Wilkin.
No one ever mispronounces your name. They leave out the S.
They leave out the S.
Or they add an S.
On my name.
Yeah, they add the S. Wilkins all
Wilkin.
The time.
Wilkin.
Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar. And we're here. This is Grace in Focus. And this is one of the many ministries that we do. How do we do all these ministries? I don't really know. It's with God's enablement and His grace. We do podcasts and YouTube videos and blogs and journal articles and books.
And we're starting Old Testament commentary and Bible study booklets, too.
I mean, I feel so lucky at being able to do this type of work.
I do, too.
I really do.
I do.
I have a friend who's a professor in a seminary, and I would have thought that's my ideal job. But he has to grade papers all day.
Right.
It's terrible.
Right.
That's not a good job. We get to actually study the word and share the gospel of grace with people. And guess what, Bob? We just hit a new record this
What was
this
that?
Month.
What record?
We just hit, for the first time, over 90,000 users in 1 month. That's 90,000 people we reached in 1 month.
On our website?
On our website, faithalone.org. We've never reached that many people before in 1 month. It's been inching upwards, but this is the first time we hit over 90,000 people. What a privilege. I mean, we're just two full-time guys, two part-time people, a couple, Ken and Catherine, part-time. We're just a teeny tiny ministry.
That's right.
But thanks to you guys, your support goes to buying a Rolls Royces for Bob and
no.
Sky Mansions for
no.
me. No, not at all. No, your money goes to supporting things like just our offices are literally the cheapest offices we could find in
Denton. Now, don't say that. They are.
Right?
They are. But let me say, although, you know, we're the little guys and we're the little ministry, the truth is we serve a big God, and God has been very good to our ministry.
Amen. Yes, absolutely.
And by the way, you are such a huge part of that. Your prayers make a big difference. Your gifts make a big difference. Your telling other people about our ministry makes a big difference. What did you say earlier today? It was something about share and care.
Yeah, prayers.
Prayers.
Shares.
Shares.
In terms of sharing posts. And then I was trying to think of something that, like, gifts. What is a word for gifts?
Care, that reminds shares, of care, and shares? Millionaires.
And millionaires, yeah. Do you know Abby and I were really close to being millionaires?
No, really?
Yes, we are so close. We have all the zeros. We just need the one.
Get oh, it.
Do you get
I
it?
See. I got it.
Where are we? Okay, we're in Wayne Grudem's book, Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel. We're in the fifth chapter, Unlikely Interpretations. And interpretations 4, 5, 6 all have to do with Acts, the book of Acts.
Why don't we try all three of those in one show, and we'll just give a kind of a lightning round on these.
Okay, very good. So Grudem's big complaint against free grace in the intro to this chapter, he says, free grace advocates have to adopt numerous highly unlikely interpretations of the New Testament because of the need to defend their mistaken understanding of the word alone in the phrase faith alone. And what he means is we believe that salvation is by faith apart from works, and there's no gimmicks, there's no fine print, really. It's just by faith. Works serve a totally different purpose. As we discussed in earlier episodes, Grudem thinks that repentance is not only a component of saving faith, but sometimes he says it's kind of like the other side of the same act. And he also says that repentance necessarily includes doing good works. So that creates a problem for Grudem, because if works are part of repentance and repentance is part of faith, that means salvation does depend upon doing good works,
right,
in Grudem's view.
And we don't think repentance is a condition of everlasting life at all.
No, we reject that. We think repentance is important, but it's important for other things. And that explanation, Grudem thinks, is one of those unlikely interpretations. So here's Acts 11:18. When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. And Grudem says, Zane Hodges is unwilling to admit that people become Christians through repentance that leads to life. So that's obviously Grudem's view. You need to repent in order to get life.
Okay. So I would suggest there are several different free grace ways to understand this verse that all make more sense than Grudem's. Grudem's explanation is what this verse is teaching is people need to repent to have everlasting life.
Right.
Well, Hodges points out it doesn't say everlasting life, it says life. But let me give you a couple of different interpretations. One is Hodges' interpretation, which is the issue here is physical life.
Okay.
And it's saying that repentance is necessary in order for a person to experience ongoing life, abundant life.
And by the way, that's not a crazy idea. Basically, the whole book of Proverbs is about
right.
how to avoid early death and enjoy like a long life on earth. That's actually a biblical ideal.
Ezekiel 18, that's exactly what it says. In fact, the title of my book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, we took the words turn and live from Ezekiel 18.
Right, and people sometimes spiritualize things as if this life doesn't matter and God doesn't care about what happens to us in this life, as if having a long life isn't important to God. It is. That's what he wants. He doesn't want his creatures to die. That was not
right.
his original plan.
All right, two other options.
Yeah.
Another option is that these guys are saying repentance leads to everlasting life, if everlasting life is a view. Not that you have to repent to have life, but that repentance can then later lead a person to faith.
So like in a lot of people's story of how they came to faith in Jesus, they won't come to faith in Jesus right away. They have to hit rock bottom and get convicted of their sin and repent of those sins before they're ready to meet the one condition of everlasting life. But that doesn't mean that everybody has to have the same story. That doesn't mean that repentance is a co-condition for anyone to be saved. That
right.
just means that's what that person had to go through.
That was their experience, but it wasn't required.
Right.
And another option would be that what they're saying is a person has to actually turn from his sins to be born again. But the reason I reject that view is because Peter doesn't correct them and Luke doesn't correct them.
Okay.
So I would say it's one of those first two views. And by the way, if you look at Cornelius, Cornelius was in Acts chapter 10, he was a man of prayer, a man of alms. And so they might be saying, oh, this is a man who had repented previously, even though the text doesn't tell us.
Right.
But Grudem has a problem because John's gospel never mentions repentance, and yet 100 times we see believing.
In Acts 17:30 says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Grudem says, here Paul is telling pagan Greek philosophers that God commands them to repent. Hodges' answer is that this verse is not a part of the call to initial saving faith, but is something different. And by saying that, Grudem obviously thinks this is a call to initial saving faith, that repentance is part of initial saving faith.
What I would suggest is Hodges' interpretation makes a lot of sense. Hodges suggests it's, quote, a call to enter into harmonious relations with God, unquote. Not in order to be born again, but to have a harmonious relationship. In other words, fellowship with God.
Now, how can an unbeliever have fellowship with God?
Well, it seems to me if you look at Acts chapter 10, Cornelius is an unbeliever who was experiencing some level of fellowship with God.
Okay.
The angel says, your prayers and alms have ascended to God.
Right.
And he was someone who enjoyed going to the synagogue.
Right.
He enjoyed worshiping. The idea that God can't hear the prayers of unbelievers is contradicted by the experience of Cornelius in Acts 10.
Mm-hmm.
So God does command all men everywhere to repent. But it's interesting when you go on in Acts 17, the few people that were born again were people who said to have believed, not to have repented.
Right. So Grudem says, this call to repent is best understood as Paul's explanation of the only way to escape the judgment that he warns of in the second half of the same sentence. God, quote, commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. He says repentance in Paul's preaching is necessary to escape this final judgment.
No, I think what he's saying is necessary is linked with this coming judgment. And the point there is, if you read Revelation 20, 11 to 15, all of those unbelievers at the great white throne judgment are judged by what's in the books of deeds. And then the basis of being cast into the lake of fire is what's in the book of life. So they're not condemned by their works. They're condemned by not being in the book of life. However, the point of Revelation 20, 11 to 15 is what's in the books determines their degrees of torment. So obviously, repentance for the unbeliever would lessen judgment they experience now, lessen judgment they'll experience forever, but also, if the unbeliever repents, it puts them in a better position to be open to the claims of Jesus Christ. But what's interesting later in Acts 17 is it doesn't fit Grudem's paradigm, because in verse 34 it says, "However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius, a woman named Damaris, and others with them." He doesn't say that others joined Paul and repented.
Right.
Why doesn't it say repented if the condition was repentance?
Right. Acts 26, 19 to 20, "Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance." And Grudem says, "This is Paul's summary, when he was on trial before King Agrippa, of his entire preaching ministry, both to Jews and to Gentiles."
I would agree with that.
We would agree with that. That is his summary. But what Grudem wants to say is this is his summary of how to be born again.
And that's not true. This is his summary of his preaching ministry. He called people to faith, and he called people to repent. The idea that it's simply repenting or repenting and turning to God is not correct. He also evangelized people, shared his faith with them. Read his sermon in Acts 13, in verses 38 and 39. He's very clear that justification is by faith. Doesn't mention repentance there. It's by faith. Grudem basically is the one who has to provide unlikely interpretations. He sees the word repent, he assumes it's an evangelistic context, and that's it.
Well, thanks, Bob, and thanks for listening. Please consider getting Bob's book, Grudem Against Grace. It'll answer these issues in more depth. You can get it at our website, faithalone.org, or find it on Amazon. And we'll see you tomorrow for the next episode of Grace in Focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org.
Tomorrow, we're going to discuss Romans 10, 9 through 13. So join us for that.
I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.